Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's a stopwatch of free speech because it's always running. It's running and you want to keep it running. You want to keep it going. So you go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, read the instructions for how to send badly needed fundage. All right, well, today is Tuesday. It's our day for Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It is good to be here. Obviously, here in not-so-sunny England, because the hot weather passed. We didn't all turn to mush. We didn't all melt. There wasn't the thousands of deaths that the climate change extremists predicted. So I am still alive to do this show. I hope everyone's happy that I'm still alive to do this show. It'd be pretty grim if I wasn't. But I am. So here we are. And we've got quite a lot of talk about this week, actually, because this week, my organisation, or the organisation I founded and that I am the leader of at the moment, Patriotic Alternative, has been very, very busy. And you're going to say, well, busy with what? Well, I've already said, everything that America seems to be afflicted with at one time or another seems to come across the Atlantic and then infects the UK. So any madness that you guys are afflicted with, well, it seems to come here shortly after. I think that's fair to say. Don't you, Patrick? I think that's a fair assessment.
Like mad cow disease?
Bit like mad cow disease, but this time it's Drag Queen Story Hour. Drag Queen Story Hour, the filthy, sexualized grooming of children, has made its way across the Atlantic and is now here in the UK. And
who thought that that was a good idea in the first place?
Well, I think we know who thought that was a good idea, but people who want to sexually abuse, groom, and prepare children for a world of homosexuality and all kinds of other sexually deviant activities. But
could you imagine just sitting around and saying, okay, we've got our public schools are failing, we've got crime everywhere, but there just aren't enough perverts reading stories to our toddlers?
Well, there are certainly too many perverts reading stories to toddlers now in the UK, and we're in a position where this is going on all through the summer at different libraries up and down the UK, and we're not standing for it. Patriotic Alternative isn't standing for it. And although the first Drag Queen Story Hour event started yesterday, we have already carried out several protests outside the libraries where these events are going to be taking place, handing out leaflets. We have leafleted about a dozen towns and cities around the UK where the events are going to be taking place. We've delivered thousands of leaflets to homes in surrounding areas, calling on parents to write to the local library, to write to the local authority, to complain. There have been huge numbers of complaints made. And we are now in the process, after doing all this work, of starting to get people together for protests outside the libraries themselves when these deviant events take place, because we're not letting this stand. And we've obviously been, we announced this campaign at the end of April. I think it was the end of April. It might have been the end of May. But the leaflets have been going out since the beginning of June. Thousands have been delivered. And we are the only group that is pushing back against this in an organized way. And there's actually, I mean, there's a lot of people talking about doing it online, but we're actually doing it. We've got bodies on the ground. And looking forward this summer, we are going to be outside numerous of these events doing protests. So, and I just want to urge any of your British listeners, please, please do get in touch with Patriotic Alternative. You can download our leaflet. You can come to the protests. Something needs to happen about this. We can't let this carry on. And I think that if we all stand together and we all get out on the streets and actually do something, I genuinely think we can make a difference. But now is the time. Now is the time before this becomes something that's sort of part of the accepted norm. And that's the sad thing. If we don't stand up against this, this is exactly what it will become. It will just become part of the accepted norm, as many other really, 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 really mad and insane things have come. You know, we now have, obviously, the horrors of these pride events where you have grown men walking down the street in bondage gear, carrying out sexual acts upon their partners in broad daylight. All of this stuff is absolutely hideous. And it got here largely because people didn't challenge it as they should have done. So we're out there. We are obviously challenging the Drag Queen Story Hours, and we'd like as many people as possible to join us.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of people marching around in bondage gear on public streets, you know, we've got somebody in our Department of Energy who is like, what is he, the Assistant Secretary of Energy for nuclear waste, or he's the person in charge of our nuclear waste. And that's him. He marches around. Well, like he'll go to meetings in stiletto heels and a woman's dress. And he's not even a tranny. He's just a pervert. He's got this weird haircut. I guess he's good at nuclear physics, but they gave him this job, and he is a complete freak. So we've got, and you know, he doesn't even keep it at home. Back in the days, boomers used to say, "Well, what you do in your own bedroom, I don't care." Well, they're not doing it in their own bedroom. They're doing it in the streets. And one last comment. You know, kids, it's good to read stories to kids. And if you have, I remember maybe once going, when I was a little kid, going to the library and somebody was reading a story. And if you want to inject some sort of random aspect to that, just something random, why would it be having a transvestite or a drag queen, people with, as a group, a very high propensity towards pedophilia? I mean, that's just bizarre. If you want random aspect, why don't you have, you could have a clown do it. You could bring a cute animal, like a billy goat or something. Why not do that? It's just so bizarre that you would actually pick a group with a strong propensity towards abusing children as the group that you're going to use for your reading stories to children. The whole thing is so bizarre, and it is the hallmark of a society in the midst of collapse.
Well, I think this is very, very telling, and I think it's very telling. And it's also very interesting, because I remember when I started making videos on YouTube, and obviously this was quite some time ago, and my videos are no longer on YouTube. But I remember when I started making those videos on YouTube, one of the earlier videos I made was actually about the LGBT agenda. And I said, you know, the LGBT agenda is basically paving the way for paedophilia, that they're coming for your children. That is the next thing. The next thing is that they are coming for your children. And I was very, very forthright about this. And eventually the video was one of the ones that was put into limited state, obviously. And then after it was put into limited state, it was completely removed from YouTube as one of my hateful videos. You know, then it was a hateful video, even though there was nothing hateful in it at all. It was just my honest assessment of the situation we were seeing with the LGBT lobby pushing their agenda onto children. And I obviously knew that this video was eventually going to get banned. I knew that they weren't going to like it. And with my channel gone, it disappeared. But I was predicting this quite some time ago, that this is where it was going, that it was going towards an open advocacy for paedophilia and the normalization of sexual activity with children. And here we are. Now, this video, I should imagine, was made at the end of 2016, so quite some time ago, but here we are, you know, these years later, and what have we got? we've got a situation where all of this has come true. All of the warnings that originally were labelled as hysteria, oh, listen to the far right and their hysteria over this, oh, as if that's ever going to happen. And here we are. It is happening. And they are pushing it upon children. And you now have children, you know, as young as two, and the parents are saying, oh, they're transgender. They're trying to, you know, my child's trying to tell me that he or she wants to transition. Well, no two-year-old child, unless they've been indoctrinated by a very, very sick individual, is going to ever say that they are transgender or want to transition. They wouldn't even know what something like that was. And it's amazing, isn't it? The same people who talk about gender being something that's imposed by society, a social construct that's being imposed by society. Obviously, it isn't. It is the natural order of things. But they say gender is a social construct imposed by society. Yet, in fact, it is their filth that is a social construct that is being imposed on society in order to destroy it and is being pushed upon children in order to prepare those children for what I believe is a life of abnormal, deviant sexual activity, which will do them immense harm and ultimately, and unfortunately, lead to many of these children not being able to form proper relationships, not being able to move forward with their lives and have children themselves. And obviously, the majority of this...
Yeah, and even being physically incapable of having children.
Yeah, and the majority of this is all aimed at white children. And it's aimed at white children because, again, I would say this is part of the attack on the West and absolutely is part and parcel with the anti-white agenda, part of white genocide. Make sure that our kids are so messed up that they grow up and are either, you know, unwilling to or unable to, as you so rightly say, have normal relationships that lead to children. It's very, very sad, very, very sick. And when you see this creature who is carrying out this drag queen story hour in the UK, you can see just how twisted this is. This is absolutely, it's repulsive. And the police are there protecting him. The police are helping him with his bags. They're helping him pack his van at the end of the event. You know, you literally have the state aiding in this child abuse. It is state-enabled child abuse.
So you say that it's aimed primarily at white children, and people could say, well, the you know, libraries, it's not that they're keeping out blacks or they're keeping out Orientals. But the thing is, in the United States and increasingly in various European countries, your status, and not just your status, but even your ability to get a job, to get into a university, is based on your position on the victimization totem pole. Where are you? How much of a victim are you? And non-whites, they have victimization status by virtue of being non-white, right? If you're a black, if you're Hispanic, you tick that box. You're already a victim. But if you're white, you're not. And, you know, the victimization categories are, first and foremost, they're racial. It could be religious, but, you know, if you're white and you convert to Islam, you get victimization status? Maybe, I don't know. It's not something that's really done much. What can you do? If you're white, you know, and maybe you get a few brownie points, victim points for being a woman, but decreasingly less so. How do you get on that? How do you get that victimization status? Well, you become a sexual minority because the sexual minorities are big time victims. And so that's it's attractive to status seeking whites the way it is not to status seeking blacks or Hispanics or racial minorities, because they've already got their victim status by virtue of being a racial minority. Does that make sense?
I think that's one of the best points I've ever heard about this. I think that's very, very well put. At first, I was thinking, well, where are you going with this? But as you explained this, that not only makes total sense, but I can understand people doing it. And I'll back up what you're saying with another point, actually. And this is a point that I have long considered. We're in a situation here in the UK where people want attention more and more. More and more in today's world, people want attention. They are, in fact, desperate for attention to the point where in today's world, you see people going on these reality TV shows, you see them opening up their entire life to scrutiny on social networks just so that, you know, people can say, oh, did you see what Karen was doing last weekend? And everyone's like, oh, blooming heck, look at that. And people are more and more desperate for attention than they've ever been before. And I've always said that part of what makes the LGBT agenda very, very attractive to certain groups here in the UK, as in young, impressionable whites, is because it gets you a lot of attention. It places you on a pedestal of, ooh, aren't you interesting? Ooh, this is, this makes you something different. This makes you special. This makes you stand out from the crowd. And it is a situation today in the modern world where if you now claim to be a sexual minority, even if it's something that's kind of, what can we say, one of these things that, you know, sort of made up things, so sort of like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm gender neutral, you know, it becomes like a, it becomes sort of very interesting because you automatically then become part of this special group where everybody, likes you to some degree, or everybody thinks, well, you're special. And I do think that has an effect. I think it's very coercive. I think for certain people who are, on the fringes of society or need something to make them stand out, this is an instant ticket to that newfound status within society. You know, you get to stand at the front of the class. Why? Have you done something good? Well, not really, but you are now part of this special group. Oh, wonderful. Well, what special group are you part of? Well, you're part of the LGBT community. Oh, okay. So what does that mean? Oh, well, it means that you now are special status. You can't be left out from certain things. You know, you have to be included. You have to be overrepresented. You know, oh, well, I couldn't get into the football team. Oh, well, the football team needs so many people from an LGBT background. You're automatically in the team now. Oh, wonderful. And I do think that will happen. I think it's going to happen more and more. And I do think we're going to get to a point where fundamentally we see this all over the Western world. And as you say, it will not affect people from ethnic minority communities enough because they already benefit from this system. They already benefit from the system in the sense that they already get their, you know, special treatment. They already get the extra place on the football team, or they already get noticed in the class, or they already get picked for things because of their ethnicity. They don't need this extra spot on the oppression totem pole.
Mm-hmm. And it's often pointed out that a lot of women are saying they're bisexual but actually haven't had sex with women. But the thing is, even if people are going to join or going to proclaim themselves gender neutral or fluid or something kind of ambiguous and meaningless, it still ties them to this whole system. It if nothing else, it prevents them from working against it. But we're at the first break. We'll be right back.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
We are back. So, yeah, if you are, even if you're going to fake it, because I know somebody who said that they applied for a job and after not getting any responses, because they're sending off all these applications to different places and it's done through the internet, after not getting responses, just as an experiment, he tried, he listed that he was LGBTQ, and all of a sudden he got responses. Now, of course, it's not worth engaging in that kind of stuff just to get a job. So that it was just an experiment. But yeah, that's how it is. And you could pretend. Are they going to actually follow you into your bedroom, or are you going to be required to do so many heinous acts per year in order to maintain this status? Probably not in the near term, but if you were going to even as a charade publicly identify this way, if nothing else, it's going to prevent you from organizing or being active against this system, which is so crazy, right?
I think what you were saying there, obviously, with the bisexual thing, that is very, very interesting, because what you've actually got there is people knowingly gaming the system. This actually backs up everything that we've said. So you've got these women who are knowingly gaming the system. They're saying, well, ultimately, they don't actually have to engage with sex with women. They don't actually have to do it. But by simply claiming it and putting it on that that sort of worksheet or you know, on their employment application, that puts them into a category where they automatically get further down the they automatically get further along in their application for a job. That's what we're saying, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. And I, you know, this is something that people have been doing with the race thing for a long time. I mean, I know a young lady, and she's got a Cuban great grandmother that she never met. She doesn't speak a word of Spanish, but by virtue of that Cuban great grandmother, she put down Hispanic on her college applications, and maybe it worked. I don't know. And then, of course, famously, you have Senator Liz Warren, who had said that she was an American Indian just because there was some family story about way back having some sort of Indian ancestor somewhere, which apparently was just either made up out of full cloth or at least it wasn't true. And there you go. So you've had this type of thing going on, the gaming of the system with, you know, fake racial heritages, but you know, if the who is to say that you're not gender fluid? Who's to know what even that means?
Well, no, exactly. And I've also heard people saying that they are in fact mixed race, when you could say they're mixed nationality. So somebody will say, well, I'm mixed race, I'm half French and I'm half Swedish. And they put mixed race down on their on an application, and when they get into the office, no one can actually say no, you're not, because that's the other part of this. One of the most interesting situations with the with all of this kind of pushing for the LGBT agenda is that fundamentally, you can't actually question anybody's actual, you know, viewpoint. So you can't actually say to somebody, well, not being funny, but are you actually gay? That would be heretical. It would be something that people would be like, oh, well, you know, you can't actually say that to that person. That would be seen as some kind of heresy to actually turn around and question somebody's sexuality. And I think the same is true with race. If you said on some form that you were actually mixed race, and you said, well, you know, my mother's you know, Spanish and my father is you know, British or English, and I, or my mum's, you know, part, my mum's Hispanic or my granddad's Hispanic, I don't think anyone would even be able to question that, because there's been such a hysteria built around this, or such a cult built around the idea of you know, racial minorities and sexual minorities, that even questioning somebody's testimony on this would be seen as heretical. So if you put down that you're any of these things, I think you've automatically got a pass for life.
Yeah, I remember going through Guam about 40 years ago, and there was a debate on whether Filipinos who live in Guam should be accepted as native Guamanians, or whatever they're called. But at any rate, we are at the next break. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
We are back. All right. So all of this is going on. When was the last time Britain had a non-Tory leader? It was Gordon Brown. When did he leave our office? Around like 2010, 2011? When was it?
Well, he left in 2010. We've had a Conservative government now for the past 12 years, which is it's quite a long time for a government to be in power continuously.
And conservatives, so they've taken care of all the illegal immigration and right all this stuff, and you're all financially sound and good budgets and right.
Well, as you know, that is not the case. As you well know, Patrick, it is anything but that. The UK now is in the worst state it has been. And interestingly, what we're actually seeing here is a real growth in this kind of degeneracy, a real growth in mass immigration. And all of this is under a Conservative leadership. So you're seeing under the Conservatives, drag queen story hour, you're seeing under the Conservatives a rise in mass immigration. You're seeing all of this. They call it woke politics. I've already discussed, I don't really like the term woke. But we are seeing a rise in all of this kind of, anti-white, progressive in inverted commas, really sort of cultural Marxism. You're seeing a rise in all of this under a government that people would say Yeah, the people elected this government for the opposite of this. People elected the Conservative Party because they wanted an end to this kind of madness. They wanted something that was going to be, for want of a better term, I know because I'm sort of repeating what they want. They wanted something conservative. They wanted something traditional. They wanted conservatism with a small C. They wanted an end to this kind of madness. They didn't want an expansion of it. They didn't want a drag queen story hour. They didn't want more immigrants. They didn't want children being indoctrinated with trans and LGBT madness. What they wanted was all of this stuff really pushed back into the closet to some degree. But under the Conservative government, we've actually seen this get a lot worse. We've seen this grow greatly, including some major milestones. So it was this Conservative government that legalized gay marriage and gay adoption. So in fact, we haven't seen a slowing of this under the Conservatives. We haven't even seen just a maintenance of its momentum, but we've seen an acceleration of this madness from a government that was fundamentally elected to stop this kind of madness.
So, okay, so you've got this race to secede Boris Johnson. And last week when we spoke, there were, I believe, four people left. There was the Indian guy, Rishi Sunak. And then there was the Foreign Secretary, Liz Truss. And then there was a lady who's been, I guess she was on a reality show in a swimming suit. A little bit stocky, but
a little bit stocky.
And then you had the black lady and like the lady, the Nigerian lady, I guess, is the only one who's able to at least even pretend to represent interests of traditional British people. But the parliamentary party, the conservative members of parliament, actually, they don't want any part of even a black lady who is telling them to try to stay somewhat British. And so she's gone. It's down to Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak. And I guess it's Sunak's Liz Truss's platform is let's do war with Russia. And Sunak's platform is no, let's do war with China. Is that it?
Well, Liz Truss is trying to sort of repackage herself as Margaret Thatcher Part 2. And Rishi Sunak is
to invade
really
Argentina then maybe, right?
What?
Let's do war with Argentina again, because
maybe
that
not less. Well, that was, I would say that the Falklands War was probably the one of the few conflicts that Britain was actually justified in fighting.
Yeah, you can make a case for it. I'm just bringing that up because
you can make more than a case for it. I think the Falklands War, it was a British territory where the inhabitants are actually wanting to remain British, and it was invaded by a foreign power. So I think that was actually a justified war. It wasn't a case of Britain sort of wading in and wanting.
Yeah, I didn't need to bring that up. That was just kind of an aside.
Well,
yeah,
as I say,
I'm not.
I think that's one of those things. It's just interesting because the Falklands War, when you speak to a lot of British patriots, they're obviously pretty much wholly negative about Britain's involvement in the Second World War. Many lament Britain's involvement in the First World War for obvious reasons, because of the loss of life. But when you talk about the Falklands, it's one of the few wars. I'm not going to say it's a popular war, but it is a war that fundamentally a lot of Brits do look back on, I won't say with fondness, because you can't really look at saying you look back on fondness is probably a little bit foolish, but it is a conflict that Brits look back on and do believe it was justified. Whereas with many other wars that Britain have been involved in, most notably the invasion of Iraq and the invasion of Afghanistan, those were wars that, again, many Brits feel completely unjustified. And don't really think the government had any right to do that. And obviously that was under a Labour government, but not a Conservative government. And yeah, so that's just really sort of a British perspective, so to speak, on that particular incident. But interestingly, with these guys here, you've got Liz Truss, who's sort of saying she's sort of the reincarnation of Margaret Thatcher. And you've got Rishi Sunak, who seems to be playing up, you know, the fact that he is actually going to be Britain's first, you know, Asian prime minister, which is, again, a very interesting sort of platform to be fighting on for a Conservative, because you would think most Conservative voters wouldn't be completely happy with something like that. Most Conservative voters would actually be a little bit like, this is potentially not what we want. You know, Conservatives with a small C would, you know, not actually be looking forward to that. But again, this isn't really a Conservative Party anymore. This is a party of the, you know, a party that is sort of as progressive in inverted commas as the left, but it is unfortunately got a blue sash wrapped around it. I know it's the other way around in your country. I know that, you know, you're sort of like Republicans are red and Democrats are blue, but here it's obviously the other way around.
And that's actually pretty recent that we use those colors. That's the past 20 years.
Okay. Well, as I say, here it's that's the way it is, isn't it? And we sort of, you know, we have the blues and the reds, and basically, you know, if you're red, you are Labour, you're the socialists. If you're blue, you're the Conservatives. And people vote blue because they want several things. They want low intervention from the government. They want low taxes. They want small government, low taxes, controls on immigration, and a reduction in sort of the woke, liberal, degenerate expansion of the state. And it's quite interesting because fundamentally what you actually have here is a Conservative government that is doing the very opposite. And I'll tell you just how far this has gone, because yeah, you probably might not find this as comical as I do. But Liz Truss, one of her promises last night during the debate about, that they've had a debate on TV about this, you know, between Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss, because obviously one of them is going to be the next prime minister. But you had Liz Truss saying that she wanted to lower taxes. She wanted to, you know, give something back to the people. And you would think that that would be, you know, a popular point or a populist point for a Conservative to make, you know, say, look, we want lower taxes. We don't want people, you know, paying through the nose for things. You know, it's hard times at the moment. The British public have been through a lot recently. And you would think that would be something that all Conservatives would be able to agree on. And no, Rishi Sunak said, oh, it's calling for tax cuts is unconservative. And I just thought to myself, this is just insane. You know, you've got a Conservative, potentially the next prime minister, saying that it would be actually unconservative for the Conservatives to, institute a policy of tax cuts, when that is exactly what conservatism is about. That is exactly a Conservative policy. And when you actually look at what Truss is saying, you know, it is to some degree, and I'm not saying she's a good person, I'm certainly not saying I support her, but you would say it's something that is traditionally conservative. She's actually coming at this from a view that would appeal to your average Conservative Party member. You know, we are going to get back to what conservatives know to be conservatism. That means, you know, an end to these, an end to the scandalously high tax rates in Britain. You know, we're going to lower tax. We're going to kickstart the economy via a lowering of tax. And that, I don't genuinely think, I'm not saying that she's a good person, That is not what I'm saying at all. But I think that is what normal people would say is a conservative policy. And the first thing that Rishi Sunak said was, that's unconservative. And I just thought to myself, yeah, you are not a conservative. You're not a conservative. And I'm not saying Liz Truss is a conservative either. I'm not saying she's a wonderful person or that people should support her or that she'd do the right thing for Britain. I'm pretty sure she wouldn't. But at least she's putting the veneer of conservatism on. And this is what I'm sort of getting to here. Because isn't it amazing that now conservatives regularly say that something either is or isn't conservative? And it's always the wrong way around. So you'll have somebody saying, Dave Rubin and his gay partner, you know, bringing up a baby boy, that's the peak of conservatism. But tax cuts, they're unconservative. And really what you've seen is a complete morphing of the conservative movement away from anything that approximates actual conservatism.
So you had over, I don't know how many people expressed an interest in running for the leadership position. It was more than half a dozen. And they were whittled down one by one. They were eliminated through votes in amongst the members of parliament, the Conservative Parliamentary Party. And they got down to these last two, but these and each round of voting, Rishi Sunak was way out in front. Now that it's down to these last two, and it's not the parliamentary party that decides; it's going to be the conservative rank and file. So about 300,000 people, which is less than 1% of the population, but the 300,000 dues-paying conservative party members who are going to vote by mail with the votes counted in early September. And so even though Rishi Sunak was in front by pretty considerable margin in every round of voting, is it safe to say that at this point it looks like Liz Truss is the front runner?
I would say Liz Truss is the front runner. And I'd say Liz Truss is the front runner because, firstly, she is white. And I do think that will have some sway with your average conservative member. I think your average conservative member will feel squeamish about Rishi Sunak being basically the next prime minister. I think people will be squeamish over that. I think, secondly, there is going to be a situation where Sunak is known for not really being a conservative, and also not really being a man of the people. He's known as this sort of guy with dual citizenship. He's an Indian billionaire.
Dual citizenship,
yeah. So within, I think that won't work well for him either. And I also think there's something else that's going to hurt him immensely. And this is one of the most interesting things. Now, Boris was obviously very unpopular towards the end of his tenure with the Parliamentary Conservative Party. And that's very interesting. So he was very... And the Parliamentary Conservative Party are very different to the actual rank and file. We've seen this time and time again where the rank and file Conservatives have been, you know, at odds with their parliamentary party. And with Boris, that did seem to be the case to a large degree. There were lots of rank and file conservatives who actually really still seemed to like Boris. And they seemed to think that he was, I'm not going to say like the greatest thing ever, but they did seem to think he was the leader that they wanted. And I think that's very important. Because Rishi Sunak was one of the conservatives who played a huge part in bringing down Johnson, played an absolutely huge part in stopping Boris's momentum, stabbing him in the back, and ensuring that Boris was no longer going to be the prime minister. And I think that's going to come back to bite him. I think he's going to be seen as a schemer. I think he's going to be seen as somebody who backstabbed a popular, a popular prime minister. And I think there's going to be lots of people who thought Boris spoke. We know Boris is a liar, but I think there's going to be lots of people who think Boris spoke like a man of the people. And I think that is going to really, really hurt Rishi Sunak, because he will be seen as the guy that backstabbed Boris Johnson. He's going to be seen as the guy that stuck the knife in to somebody who was a popular leader who said he was going to get immigration and Brexit under control, and Sunak prevented that. So I think that will hurt him too.
Okay, we're at the last break. We'll be right back.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Every time some psychopath goes out and shoots multiple people, half the country screams for more gun control. I have some questions. How is it that so many of the mass shooters have had multiple encounters with police and or the FBI, yet still get the guns to commit these horrible crimes? Maybe we need to enforce lying on the background check paperwork. That is a felony that is rarely prosecuted. Is there any oversight for the companies and groups that are required to report to the National Instant Background Check System? Maybe antipsychotic medication should be a disqualifying condition for gun ownership. In short, rather than making it more difficult for law-abiding citizens to exercise their Second Amendment rights, how about we focus on psychopath control? Support transparency from Congress by visiting liberty-lighthouse.com/HR46. Until tomorrow, see this Posham Parabellum.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
And we are back. We have a few minutes left. I often use these minutes to ask what you're doing with your two weekly shows. You have a Wednesday show, Patriotic Weekly Review, where you have sometimes a prominent guest and sometimes an up-and-coming guest that you talk to every week. And then a Friday, what used to be typically mini-documentaries, now sometimes they're other formats. What do you have on store for people this week?
Well, I'm working on a couple of things this week. The first is Patriotic Weekly Review on Wednesday is going to have Dr. Edward Dutton on. He's a returning guest. He's somebody that everyone liked very much. And I'm really looking forward to having him back on. I was on his show the other week, and that was certainly a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to repaying the favor very, very soon with Ed.
I was on with you, and he came on, and he made the comment that you can have a big brain or you can have big genitalia, but you can't have both.
Yeah, that sounds like an Ed Dutton comment. So I'll go with that. I'll say he definitely did. I'm not gonna dispute that. That sounds like an Ed comment to me.
I think Jason wanted to dispute it, but
well, you know, I'm gonna dispute it too. But you know, I will say this: he's very entertaining. Looking forward to coming on. And this Friday, we'll be doing, instead of doing one of my scripted videos my talking to the camera videos, it's the PA Monthly Roundup, where we'll be talking about all of the work we have been doing, all the work we want to be doing, and we'll also be giving people an update on a couple of our campaigns, one of which is our White Lives Matter Day of Action, which will be taking place on the 9th of August. So if anyone can, please do get involved with that. You can find out more at www.patrioticalternative.org.uk.
Okay, hey, I have a question. So in Britain, I'm sure there are ethnic acts.
Ask me about the White Lives Matter Day. Okay. I forgot to mention that. Can you please? Sorry to mess that up, but it's really important, and I should have bloody mentioned it earlier through the show. Sorry.
So you've had some good White Lives Matter events in the past. What's that all about?
What we're asking everyone to do is, before August the 9th or on August the 9th, go out, print off a poster, a banner, or some piece of publicity material that says simply White Lives Matter. Take a picture of yourself with the poster, or the poster up, or the banner somewhere over a bridge. Do something to raise awareness of the fact that White Lives Matter, and then message that to us on the day of the activity, and we will publish it for you. And this is our way of basically saying that white people all over the world, we do have a voice, we have a right to be heard, and that we aren't going to simply go quietly into the night, that we want to do something about what's afflicting our people. And I think this has been a lot of fun. It's also a bit of a white pill, because we talk a lot about the problems, but we often don't understand how many people are on our side. And if we can get several hundred people or several hundred groups of people all over the world to all do this on the same day, it really does make a difference. And it's a global show of force. So I'd really appreciate anyone who can get involved with this doing so and getting in touch with us to show us what they've done.
Okay, well, we just got a couple seconds. What I was getting at is, in Britain, you have accents, not just on region or ethnicity, but also on class. And Dutton's accent, is it posher than you or Andy Hitchcock?
I think Edward Dutton's accent is the poshest accent that I've ever heard ever anywhere in the world. Edward Dutton is a very eccentric and wonderful Englishman, and he does let that eccentricity out as much as possible.
Okay, well, that should be interesting. All right, well, thank you very much for joining me, Mark.
Thank you, it's been fantastic.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle